This feature of the Science News Radio Network is coming to you from our studios in Dallas, Texas. Science News is on the air right now.
This is the promise of tomorrow, where people and industry keep up with the business of emerging and nanotechnologies. The fields covered in this series of programs will include energy, defense, aerospace, medicine, semiconductors, and more. For the next hour, Colonel Mason will introduce his experts, and you'll be on the cutting edge of the promise of tomorrow.
And I want to remind those of you listening on radio can also hear us commercial-free online and webcast at promiseoftomorrow.biz anytime. And so good to be with you again as we explore the exciting world of the business of emerging science, open innovation, and nanotechnology. And today's program is about nanotechnology. A Dr. Zhaowei Dong, assistant professor at the Department of Pharmaceutical Sciences at the University of North Texas Systems College on Pharmacy, believes that the use of nanotechnology for drug delivery is set to spread rapidly, and she's going to tell us all about it. And, of course, in the program, we're going to visit the Den of Strangers, get more wisdom from somebody a lot of us never heard of, visit our fountain of useless information we keep here on the set, and, of course, at the end of the program, listener comments and the voice of reason. And I promised my good friend Bob Shapiro that I would say something about the coming IEEE election. Those of you who are members of IEEE probably know that the Region 5 Committee has selected two of their 2015 executive officers as their candidates for the 2016-17 director-elect position. The elections opened in the middle of last August and will close in just a few days on October 1st. I think that's Thursday. It's important that all voting members become informed about the two candidates who will automatically be elevated to Region 5 director in 2018. So if you're an IEEE member, please remember to vote. We're really lucky to have two very fine candidates. T. Scott Atkinson is a retired lieutenant colonel in the Air Force. He's an IEEE life senior member, 48 years in the IEEE, past member and vice chair of the IEEE MGA board, 5 years on the IEEE MGA Geographic Unit Operations Support Committee, two as chair and executive chair of two IEEE Communication Society flagship conferences, 2001 and 2014. And Robert Shapiro. He's a IEEE senior member, 34 years in the IEEE, Region 5 volunteer, leader for 9 years, including membership development and South Area chairs, and currently secretary. Previously, Bob served as general chair of two IEEE Vehicular Technology Society VTC flagship conferences. That was in 2005 and 2007. We remember that, don't we? And has held numerous leadership positions in the IEEE Dallas section in communications and vehicular technology chapters, and is elected board of governors and vice presidents of societies. So remember to vote. You're tuned to the Science News Radio Network. Also webcast at promiseoftomorrow.biz. Right now, we're lucky to have as a guest on our program Dr. Zhaowei Dong. She's assistant professor at the University of North Texas Assistant College of Pharmacy at the University of North Texas Health Science Center in Fort Worth. And she specializes in a subject that's very dear to our hearts here. That's nanotechnology. Welcome to the program, Dr. Dong.
Yes, thank you.
Now, I understand you're going to be speaking at the MetroCon conference October 22nd at Arlington, at the Arlington Convention Center. This is a MetroCon that's sponsored by IEEE and Lockheed Martin and Encore and some of the other ones. And it's going to be a very exciting time. And you're going to be talking about, as I say, something that's dear to our hearts here, nanotechnology. I think that was the first things we started to cover on this program, and we started it way back in 2007. And you're suggesting the use of nanotechnology for drug delivery is set to spread rapidly, and that's going to be your presentation, I think, isn't it?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Now, tell me something. Does that mean then that the government agency that governs the delivery of drugs and that sort of thing is going to finally accept nanotechnology as a treatment for disease?
Yeah, actually, you see, the FDA already approved a lot of nanoparticle delivery system for cancer therapy. So nanotechnology or nanomedicine is not completely new. There are several nanoproducts already on the market. So, and now somebody already expect in the next 20 years, maybe over 50% of the drug need to be in the nano formulations.
Yeah, well, I remember a few years ago, nanotechnology was being experimented with at places like Caltech and other places, and it wasn't approved by the Food and Drug Administration yet, and so the only people that could be treated were those who were terminal. But that's changing now. Tell us how that's changing.
So the reason is that there are mainly many things on the regulation part on the nanoparticles. This even nanotechnology have been discovered over 20 years. However, the characterization and the formulation still is challenging. For example, how do you define what is nanoparticles?
Mm-hmm.
So some people, even the size over 1,000 nanometers, they still consider that as nanoparticles. So that's even for definition, there are a lot of confusion. That's the reason the FDA and the Nanotechnology Center, they define the nanoparticle as one dimension, the range between the 1 nanometer to 1,000 nanometer.
Okay, that is still holding then. It's 1,000 nanometers or less is a nanoparticle,
yeah.
Okay? So that hasn't changed any.
Yeah, that is one dimensional. I just want to give you one example, see how complicated of this technology.
Oh, please.
Even just for definition,
yes.
We need to go to some like government or the regulation agent to give them everybody that definition.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the reason. And another thing, right now, another problem is on the scale up of the nanotechnology. So many people do the nanotechnology in the lab and do their research. However, very few people really think about the scale up. So that makes it difficult for the pharmaceutical industry to really reproduce those nanoparticles that are developed in the lab. That's one another problem right now. So there is what we call maybe the translational research on the nanotechnology still is limited.
Okay, because people are reluctant to scale up on nanotechnology, you say? You mean in the production of it, or do you mean in the size of a nanoparticle?
I mean the production size of the batch. So you can make a small batch, maybe like 1 mL nanoparticles in the lab very easily. But if you think about the manufacturer size, maybe 1 kilo, and you want to make that a big scale up batch, that will be difficult.
Mm. Mm-hmm. There are companies that have been doing it, but there's not enough of them. Is that what you're saying? Especially if there's going to be widespread use of nanoparticles in drug delivery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of companies try to make those nano, like right now actually if you look at the marketing product, only the Lipson and the nanocrystal and the polymer nanoparticles for the commercial already.
Mm-hmm.
So actually nanoparticle, nanotechnology is very broad concept. So you can have many, many kinds of different nanoparticles. So that's another thing most time people get confused. When I work at Novartis, people talk about nanoparticles. Actually, they talk about nanocrystals. So those actually is crystal, but they are in the nano size. So they can use the nanocrystals for the only solid dosage form. But my nanoparticle, when I talk with them, I'm trying to see the lipid-based nanoparticles. So they are not nanocrystal. So that's some people still confused with those terms and the concepts. So that makes this nanotechnology is difficult to translate to the industry scale.
Well, I can imagine, yeah. Now, a nanocrystal, is that a carbon? And then the other nanoparticles you're talking about is not carbon, is that right?
No, not the carbon. It's just what we call drug substance, just like a chemical. So you get the drug substance that active ingredients in the medicine. So you get that powder, the drug powder. So drug powder itself have the size. So when they use a nanomilling and decrease the size to the nanoparticles, nano range, they call nanocrystal. So it just basically simply decrease the size of that powder. So that's one kind of nanoparticles. So in this conference, I will talk about some lipid-based nanoparticles. That's different with those nanocrystals. And so for those lipid nanoparticles in my lab, which we use them for the cancer drug delivery, and we also try to deliver some kind of novel lipid nanoparticle for brain drug delivery. So try to cross the BBB, the brain barrier, brain blood barrier. And also we use this kind of nanoparticle for oral drug delivery. So you can have a lot of different applications with one kind of nanoparticles.
Now, the nanoparticles are helpful because they operate below the radar of the immune system. Is that the reason that that we like them?
Not just that simple. That's one reason, actually. So there are many advantages of the nanoparticles. Depend on how do you use them. So, for example, people maybe you know the blood-brain barrier, we call the BBB. So that is a barrier in the brain. So that's a nature structure. So all the toxic stuff cannot cross that BBB and get into your brain.
Oh, really?
So that's naturally, yeah, that's naturally how the, all the stuff in the brain, all the nervous system get protected. However, when brain have the, some dysfunction, like Parkinson's disease, then we try to treat that disease, the liver become big issue because the drug also cannot cross that BBB. That's the reason right now almost no very effective drugs for the Parkinson's disease. So
okay,
those CNS disorders also is another area the nanoparticle can have some benefit.
All right, well, let me repeat what I think you said. The nervous system in the brain has got a barrier that doesn't allow toxins in, and it's called the BBB. And
yeah.
So it's very difficult to treat diseases of the brain and the nervous system because you can't get drugs and you can't get past this BBB. But by using nanoparticles, is that they're so small, they can get behind the BBB to go in and to help alleviate the symptoms of Parkinson's disease and other brain diseases. Is that what you were saying?
Yeah, that's some idea for the nanoparticles. Another thing, the good thing for nanoparticle, this is that's the reason we call delivery system.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a delivery system. So we can modify the surface of nanoparticles. So put some ligands on the nanoparticle. So those ligands can recognize the receptor in that BBB, in the CNS system. Then the nanoparticle can be uptaken by the brain. So that's another mechanism for uptake on how to cross the BBB by nanoparticles.
Okay, now you were saying that these nanoparticles are introduced into the body can be done orally and also through the skin without injections and that sort of thing. Is that right?
And some people do the skin penetration using nanoparticles. So for my lab, we do the parenteral formulation and the oral formulation. So when I say the parenteral, I mean you can inject the nanoparticle directly into the blood by IV injection, intravenous injection. And we also can make those nanoparticles into the oral solid dosage form. Then we can give the nanoparticle for the oral drug delivery.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now, what is the main message then that you're going to want to be the takeaway when you make your presentation at the October 22nd Metrocon conference in October? The people that are going to be attending this, what is the main message that you want them to take away as far as nanotechnology and drug delivery?
Mm-hmm. I want to let people know there are a lot of the benefits from nanotechnology, and I also want to people can, through my presentation, they can open their eyes, because right now most people just know, okay, nanotechnology is good for cancer drug delivery.
Mm-hmm.
But nanoparticles can do other things, like cross the BBB, can use for oral drug delivery. So that's one message. Another thing I want to emphasize a little bit. So although nanoparticle is very powerful, but still there are a lot of challenges we need to overcome.
Well, yeah, I believe in China a few years ago, there was a contamination of nanoparticles because of inadequate filters or something like that. So there is some fear of the spreading of nanoparticles. Is that not true?
I think that's not just specific for nanoparticles. Any formulation have that possibility. So mm-hmm. It depends on how the manufacturer control the products. So it's not just for nanoparticles. So I think people don't need to, based on that case, and then worry about the nano formulations. I don't think that's neat.
Mm-hmm. So we're not expecting that there's going to be cases of nano contamination or anything of that nature in this work.
Yeah, I don't think so. You need to worry about that. See, that's because of filter got contamination for this nano product. So for other injection, the filter also could get contaminated. So it's not really need to worry about that contamination when you talk about the nanoparticles. It's just but people have to, for the manufacturer side, they have to really do the good job on the quality control and make sure all the process can work very well.
All right. Are you able to cure Parkinson's disease there in the lab with these methods?
We are not go that far yet. We just have some nanoparticles and that could cross the BBB. So we haven't started our in vivo efficacy study yet.
Okay.
Yeah, but in the some other labs, in the literature, so you will find some like evidence use a nanoparticle to treat those CNS disorders.
Okay. Well, I'm going to ask you, Don, to put your thinking cap on for a minute and give us a look into the future, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years down the line. What do you see coming? I mean, you're saying the delivery is set to spread rapidly. How rapidly, and what can we expect to happen in the future?
Mm-hmm. I think now the more and more people really focus on how to translate the nanotechnology to the commercial products. And there are many, actually, very good nanoparticles. They could be scaled up. So I think in the next, maybe not 5 years, maybe, but at least for next 10 years, and you will see a lot, many nanomedicines come to the marketing. And nanomedicine right now is for cancer and different cancer drug like siRNA, and that is very attractive. So there are nanoparticles can not just only deliver the small molecules, they also can deliver the big molecule. So I think that's a big application for nanoparticles.
Yes, I understand that places like Caltech and others have been curing cancer using nanotechnology by actually delivering substances inside of the cancerous tumors and destroying the tumors itself from the inside because of the getting below the immune system barriers and also being able to get into these particular tumors and things. But what you're suggesting is that there's going to be widespread curing of cancer using nanotechnology as part of our future, and it's going to be all approved by the Food and Drug Administration, right?
Yeah. If you look at the literature right now, for cancer drug delivery, almost everybody uses nanotechnology. It's just a different kind of nanoparticles. Because this nanoparticle is very good drug delivery system, you can easily modify these nanoparticles, put anything in the nanoparticle inside there, and put something on the surface. So those surface, those ligands, they can target it to the tumor cells. And then they can accumulate in the tumor site to decrease the toxicity of the chemotherapy. So that's the reason nanotechnology is so attractive, because it's not just a formulation technology. When I say the formulation, I'm talking about like a tablet or capsule. You just try to make some excipients with a drug substance and make them to the certain size and be able to administer it to the patient, so those capsule and tablets. A nanoparticle is not just that formulation technology. It's a delivered system, so you can modify that delivered system. So that's the reason they have very big power.
Okay, so what you're saying, it isn't nanotechnology, nanoparticles alone, but it's also in conjunction using chemotherapy along with the nanoparticles is the way that the cancer is going to be cured in the future.
Mm-hmm. And that's for cancer. And another area actually right now in my lab is we focus on what we call pediatric formulation.
Mm-hmm.
So those when I say pediatric formulation, that formulation is just for kids.
Mm-hmm.
And in the current marketing, actually over 65% of drugs, they don't have the pediatric formulations. So you know, for the young kids, if the children less than 12 years old, they really cannot take the tablets and the capsules. So they have to have some special formulation and they can take that drug. So that's the reason pediatric formulation is another area people very interested. And in my lab, we really found out, okay, nanotechnology have many benefits for this pediatric formulation development. So they can increase the drug solubility, and also they can mask the taste of the drug. So that's a perfect technology for pediatric formulation.
All right. I mean, we're talking about nanotechnology being very, very well-suited then for pediatric technology, because getting these medicines to kids is a whole lot more challenging than it is to getting it to adults. Let me ask you too. You mentioned Parkinson's disease with the brain, but do you see hope for curing Alzheimer's and this sort of thing using nanotechnology and getting past the BBB?
I think for this area is more challenging than cancer drug delivery, because a lot of people try to use a nanoparticle to cross the BBB, but the inflation is still not very high. However, if you look at other technology for formulation drug delivery, they also cannot do anything. Maybe only nanotechnology can do something, but we need more study on this area and try to deliver drug to the brain.
All right, good. Well, before we go, I know... your career has been varied. You've had an exciting life and the travels that you've done. You've had mentors, people giving you important lessons in life and things that have been important to you. And I know that you're mentoring other people. And what's a word of advice you might give a younger person, or you might give a friend or something else, maybe a credo or a word to live by, or something profound that we can kind of keep with us as a way to live, a word of wisdom perhaps. Do you have something for us?
Yeah, I think the key I'm also young, so I should not say it's the same word for myself. I hope I can keep very creative. So that's in the research, very creative and critical thinking. I think that's two major things for my research.
Be very creative and have creative thinking all your life.
Yes.
That's the word you leave us with. All right. Well, Dr. Zhaowei Dong, assistant professor of the Department of Pharmaceutical Sciences at the University of North Texas Systems College of Pharmacy. You've been so good to be with us. We're going to really look forward to seeing you and hearing what you have to say October 22nd at the Arlington Convention Center when IEEE teams up with Lockheed Martin and Encore and presents MetroCon. And so we're really looking forward to that. I want to remind the listeners that if they want to know more about MetroCon, they can find out about it at our website, promiseoftomorrow.biz, on the right-hand side of your screen. So, Dr. Dong, thank you so much. You've been a wonderful guest and been so generous with your time.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate this opportunity.
And you're tuned to the Science News Radio Network, also webcast at promiseoftomorrow.biz. Okay, as we walk to the break at the half hour, we're going to pause at the door of the Den of Strangers, where we keep locked away all of the wisdom of mankind. In the Den of Strangers will we meet today?
Yes, from the ancient past, it is Aristotle. If liberty and equality, as thought by some, are chiefly to be found in democracy, they will be best attained when all persons alike share in the government to the utmost.